This morning's reading is taken from Luke 2, reading from verse 1 to verse 14. The birth of Jesus. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in clothes and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. The shepherds and the angels. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." Thanks be to God.
Preaching on this theme, we have a member of our own parish, so I invite Andy Bafethink to come up here and preach to us.
Thank you, Aaron. So I think I will be needing a pulpit. So in ICF, we always create our pulpits. Let me take that one. Yes, that's also fine. And leave this here for Priscilla. So. Very nice. Fancy. Thank you. I'm happy to preach for you today in this beautiful Christmas season. So nice to see so many guests, Hank's family, for example, and also we have many Indonesian guests, Raka's family, and all of you. Very happy to see all of you, of course. And we will be thinking together about a special theme. It's actually a question. I want to think about this question with you today. Why a stable? Why did God pick a stable to reveal his love and his eternal promise? But let's first have a prayer together. Father in heaven, we thank you for your saving and renewing word. And we pray that you will let your word reach the goal for which you also have sent it, that will your word will land on fertile hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, here in Holland, we have a game which we play with children. I think also adults like the game, which is ik zie wat jij niet ziet. That sounded like real Dutch, didn't it? Huh? So ik zie wat jij niet ziet. It means I see what you don't see, what you see not. Huh? So, and the color is. And as you know, of course, we are very critical, detailed people. We Dutch people, so we pick one of the brown tiles, and we say the color of the thing I see is brown, and you have to guess which one is it, and then you start guessing. Now you have, I think this. I searched for this on the internet. I think you have the English an English version, English spoken as well. I think it's something like, I spy with my eye, something, so with my little eye, and you are a child. Something beginning with, and then you give the first letter of the words to guess. Huh? Isn't that so? Okay. Something that's present in the room. Now, I want actually want to play this with you too this morning. It because it's nice, it triggers one's imagination. So let me make you do some guessing this morning, and also let's make a discovery together this morning. Now, dear friends, the story goes, Mary brought forth her firstborn son, which was born in a stable because there was no room in the adjoining hotel. And in fields nearby, there were shepherds taking care of their sheep. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, there appeared an angel to the shepherds who said, I bring you good news, great news. There is nearby in Bethlehem a child who is Christ, the Savior of man. Now you go, see that child, and you will know what I want you to find. That the angel left quite much to the imagination of the shepherds, didn't he? Because how could they find the right stable? There were several stables in Bethlehem. It was not a large city, but it did have some population. And Joseph had to go there because he was of the lineage of David, of his ancestry line. And they had to go to Bethlehem for tax purposes. So they went. But in what place would they find a child? Well, the angel said, you can recognize the place because there will be a manger and there will be some swaddling clothes. But how to find that? How to recognize that in the little town of David? Well, where all the people went to get registered, how would they find the right stable? I think that's an important question to start with. What will you look for? What will you look for? Like in the kids' game, the angel only revealed a small part of what these shepherds had to find. He mentioned the manger. He mentioned the swaddling clothes, like being the first letters of the place they had to find. Now, when I read this story and I thought about this fact, I had some kind of strange... It's my daughter. Our daughter. I had some kind of strange tendency to sort of rewrite the story. You may, of course, never do that, but there was a tendency in me. And because this description of the angel, search for a manger and for swaddling clothes, and you will find a child, is so vague, huh? So superficial, actually. And I think the shepherds could easily have searched for Jesus in the wrong stable. And you see, in fact, the Bible nowhere tells that Jesus was born in a stable, does it? We assume this because a manger is usually found in an animal stable, and I also suggested that in the title of the sermon, as if he was born in a stable. But we don't know for sure. Could have been somewhere else. Could have been a cave. Could have been out in the fields. We have to keep in mind that the child of God was born in a stable. Child of God, son of God. We also have to keep in mind that he would be a king. Yeah, because David, King David, was his ancestor. So he had the rights to be a king. And for those two reasons, he did deserve something special, isn't it? Because he was a king, he would be divine, he is and will be the divine eternal Son of God. But nothing in this story made the stable itself really special or obvious. So what I would have written, I would have some kind of birds or so, thousands of birds with let's say, sparkling silver-colored birds flying above that stable, emitting bright rays of light so that it would be visible for all the people in that area. I would also have the animals talk about the greatness of Jesus, and I would also have this manger, this feeding trough, changed into gold as soon as Jesus touched it, turned into gold. Huh? And also to convince people that this was the right stable they had to go into, that there would be UFO spacecraft flying over the stable, so that people from miles away searching for the stable would not have much difficulty to find it. But it's all not here in the story. It's my fantasy. So why didn't God identify that stable in some miraculous way? Why didn't his angel even tell the shepherds that it was a stable? Because wasn't Israel led through the desert by night by a column of fire? Wasn't that a clear sign for them of where to go? And also the wise men, weren't they shown a star? Yes, but the shepherds weren't. I would like to know why. Because God started out in a really good way. A virgin birth, that's a pretty good miracle. The shepherds were given a very good sign with the angels singing in the sky. We just read about it. Very good. But then, suddenly, the silence. Did you notice that there was a silence? That they were left without a real clue of where to start searching? Now, I must say, the shepherds really did find the right baby, and they did honor the right child, because what if other babies were born as well that night, and Jesus was among them without being noticed by these shepherds? They would have honored the wrong child. And to be honest, I'm a bit surprised that the shepherds even went, because these indications were so poor. You see, but they did not expect the child to be poor, so why would they search in a stable? Because they expected a king and a divine son of God. But it turned out that they were able to find the child. It turned out to be in a barn, out behind an inn. It's incredible that they found it. And when they arrived, what did they find? They found one man, one woman, a little baby, I guess a few animals too. And that was it. They had to go from cave to cave. They had to go from stable to stable, looking for a baby in a manger. You know why this silence? Why these poor indications of where to find Jesus? You know, the crucial thing here is that they searched. They were willing to search. How would the angel have indicated the birth location clearly, the shepherds would not have shown what it was worth to them to finally honor Jesus. God wants people to search, to make effort, to find, to prove to God that it's worth it. It's like trying to find the ICF, and you have to suffer a little bit for it. You have to walk through the mud over there. Huh? You have to prove that it's worth it. Huh? And that's why the angel played the game, I spy with my eye. I'm not going to tell you much, but a little bit you have to search. Are we searchers too? You see, when we search, there's also a reward. I found this reward somewhere else. I had to search for it, and I found it in Psalm 9, verse 10. Psalm 9, verse 10 says, "You have never forsaken those who seek you, Lord." So there's no forsaking when there is seeking. Now, you know, dear friends, God had an intentional reason behind the poverty of the manger. Why did God Most High let his only begotten son be born in a stable, or maybe in a cave? Why? God could have opened so many big, impressive doors instead of having his son sent to some inferior spot. I want you to know that according to the old prophecies, God has given all mankind two signs, two very important signs of the coming of the Son of Man. You know, a sign is something that God gives us to teach a lesson. So in this case, what is the sign that this really was the place to find the eternal child, the eternal God, the child of God? Well, there were two signs, the swaddling clothes and the manger. But in general, there are also two different signs in the Bible of the coming of Jesus. And the first sign, on the one hand, is his coming in splendor and glory. And the other sign, on the other hand, his coming in lowliness and humility. Now, the first coming of Jesus to this earth was that he would come in the sign of humility, in poverty. It would not be the sign of splendor. Because, you know, the Bible says when he comes in splendor, he will also judge the living and the dead. So, beautiful splendor and this serious judgment. So let's be happy that Christ first came in humility, in the manger. And you know this first sign, humility instead of judgment, explains people how to go about, finding Jesus, the Christ child, in our time. You see, you have to ask yourself the question, how do people find Jesus? And the answer, I think, is just like the shepherds did. But people in our days do hardly find Christ because they do not accept a simple manger, the attribute of God's humility, because they expect much more, as if they would deserve much more, gold and blessings and eternity now. Earthly eternity. You see, this poverty, this simple thing, this manger, this feeding trough for animals, confronts people with their own low state. And we don't want that. You see, the Bible says Christ was willing to humble himself. He did it. And step down from the image and the glory of God that he had. And he was even willing to appear in this world among the animals. Among the animals. You see, mankind is fallen in sin. And therefore, we can claim that mankind now finds himself, biblically spoken, on the level with the beast. The Bible says that man was created a bit lower than the angels, and that animals were created lower than man. But when he fell in sin, he entered the plane of the animals. So that's where Jesus had to go, to the animals. Jesus came from the gold-illuminated ballroom to the dark sub-basement. He had to descend to the level at which we all now live, and that's the animal level, sort of. You can call this world, in a sense, a jungle. We treat each other, people treat each other the same way animals do. There was a Roman poet, his name was Plautus, and Plautus, he said, "Homo lupus homini," which means man is a wolf to man. Talking about lost people now. And you see, Jesus was born in a stable because that's where you put animals. And this is not a very pretty picture, let's be honest, because the ox and the donkey were stinky and noisy. And if they could, they would pee everywhere. And in that stable, you had also, I think, expectingly, some spiders and mice crawling around. Not much Christmas romance here. Now, you see, many people cannot find Jesus because they don't come down to the point where they say, yes, In a sense, I am like the animal. We have to come down from our white, high royal horse and get to the manger. Like God had to come down himself to your level to save you. You see, Jesus even had to become an animal himself. That's what we sang last Sunday. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. You see, he became a sacrificial lamb for the sins of lost mankind. And that's what God sees. So when he looks down, he sees mankind living in a stable. Nothing interesting for us, but we are living there ourselves, living in a stable. We are morally broke. For Christ to come down from his throne room to the stable room meant a great sacrifice, therefore, a great sacrifice of humility from his part. And for you and I, now, to come to that same Christ and find him in the manger, we too have to pay a tremendous sacrifice. We have to crucify our pride. But man says to God in his face, well, you see, I'm not bad enough to go to hell, am I? I'm not that bad. And that kind of pride keeps people away from the manger of Jesus. He says, you have to humble yourself as little children and come and say, yes, I am a lost sinner. I need that manger more than anything in the world. Yes, it confronts me with my low state, with my sins, with my fallibility. But it also proves that he was willing to dwell in it for me. Therefore, a stable to prove that he was willing to dwell in our darkness, to visit us, to care for us, to set us free there. And until we acknowledge that, we don't need a baby and a dirty manger as the signs of God's mercy. Now, before I close, you know, if we look to the humility of the stable, we can also see that on the cross. He humbled himself till the death on the cross, is what one of the apostles says. And how about the swaddling clothes, also mentioned as a sign? How about the swaddling bands? I had to look it up. I didn't know much about that. You see, you take narrow strips or bands of cloth, and you put the baby's arms beside his body like this, and you put his legs together, and then you just wrap it. Until you get a mummy. Well, of course, his head and eyes are sticking out, moving. Hopefully his mouth is not moving too much. But the child is bound to make him sort of comfortable, like being in the mother's womb. And you see, that's what they did with Jesus. It reminds me also of Christ in the tomb. He came into the world bound, and he went out bound. You see, he came in with swaddling clothes, and he left in burial clothes. What does that say? It says that Christ became, he came down to our earth to become a servant in chains, like a slave. He was bound on the cross for me. He was bound in the cave for me. He was born in a cave. He was buried in a cave. He entered and he left through the same door of humiliation. Why? Because he was willing to become the substitute sacrifice for us, willing to become one of us, to go in our place, get punished for our sins like an animal. People feel too good, often feel too good to receive God's forgiving love through Christ. But you also have to know, the man who is not willing to find the Savior in humility, because it confronts him with his own low state, will not find out how strongly God desires to raise him up again, to raise him up in restoration and glory. Isn't that the purpose of the Christmas gospel? The restoration of souls. Shall we pray together? Father, we give you thanks for those who have come. Especially, we thank you, say thanks for the stable and the sign you have given. We do ask this morning if someone is here who has not really truly said that he is depending on you and a sinner deep down to the point of needing a savior. Father, we ask you that you will touch him and her and humble him, humble her, and make him realize that in your eyes, he or she cannot just compare to you and your holiness and your love. May all people around us find the Christ who humbled himself to the low level where this sinner could be found, so that he and she will find Christ next to him, next to her, and then climb up to the heavenly ballroom, the heavenly throne room with him. Amen.